Imagine, a podcast series by Imagine Theatre.
Hello again, I hope you had a great Easter. Hard to believe that years ago the pantomime season would only just have ended. Welcome to episode 76 with me, Martin Ballard, and a look behind the scenes once again at Imagine headquarters.
For more information, go to their website at www.imaginetheatre.co.uk.
Now, in the last episode, I was joined by Dr. Robert Marsden and actress and director Mary Bryan to look in more detail at the role of the director. That and all of the other previous 75 episodes are all still available. If you missed any of them, all you have to do is go to where you normally get your podcast from, and while you're there, make sure you subscribe to the series so you don't miss any future episodes. And don't forget, there are many more episodes to come from Imagine Theatre, one of the UK's biggest producers of pantomime and children's theatre. Well, this time, I've been joined by joint CEOs of Imagine, Managing Director Steve Bowden and his wife, Business and Marketing Director Sarah Bowden. How are you both?
Oh, very well, Martin. Great to see you again.
Morning, Martin. Good to see you.
This is a hive of activity. It's early in the morning here at Imagine headquarters. We were just talking before we started this. We're almost a third of the way through the year. So, Steve, where are we?
Well, it's that time where we've pretty much closed the door on the last panto season. It's taken until now to get all the settlements in, to go through the accounting, to make sure that all the scenery and costumes and props are back in the warehouse and put away. We've pretty much closed the door on that, but of course we're well underway for planning. As we've talked about in previous podcasts, it takes 15 to 16 months to plan up a pantomime. So we're well on the way in the planning of this year's shows. So the team are literally pulling together their budgets, because budget sign-off is imminent. We're working through the drafts of scene synopses ahead of first draft of scripts. So there's just, everybody has so much to do. And everybody, you know, you talk to people outside of the industry and they go, oh gosh, it's lovely. You know, you must be able to put your feet up now. And we're going, gosh, far from it. These are the really critical bits of the whole project.
Now, when you mentioned budgets, and we're coming to the end of the financial year, I actually saw Sarah wince there for a second. It's an incredibly busy time for you, isn't it?
It is. And as Steve said, we always get there, oh, what do you do for the rest of the year? And if only they could see the fact that there are 30 people in this building, absolutely flat out, both on the final throws of the 2023 pantomime season, but mostly flat out on preparation for the 24 panto season. I don't think they'd quite believe us. I mean, we've got costumes being prepped already. Sets are being glittered. There is just so much happening. In my world, we're signing off final accounts from the year, working alongside our new colleagues in Trafalgar, because there's a lot of integration. So we paused integrating Imagine into Trafalgar until this stage, but we'll talk a bit more about that in a moment, I'm sure. So there's just loads and loads of accounts work going on. Preparation for the first children's auditions, which actually take place literally 6 weeks' time.
Oh, wow.
It's unbelievable how quickly the children's auditions will come around as well. So it just takes an army of people. We've got Hannah just preparing so many contracts that are going out. People would not believe us if they came in right now.
Yeah, so it's a sort of spreadsheet hell for you at the moment, is it?
Yeah, death by spreadsheet, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, what about the next season then? It's only 8 or 9 months away, Steve. Any new developments for this year?
Yeah, so literally we're looking at the schedule for this year. A couple of our theatres received levelling up money. So those venues that we've produced in for a long time are going dark. So the Grand Pavilion in Porthcawl, where we've had a very successful run of panto, is closed for a couple of years while they do some redevelopment work there, as is the Palace Theatre in Kilmarnock, where we've produced for 21 years. And we had a fabulous meeting with the team at East Ayrshire Leisure last week. They invited us up to talk about plans for a production this year. And they've had some very exciting conversations with their colleagues in the Trust about putting a temporary theatre up in Kilmarnock. And at the athletics track, they've identified the perfect site to put a big top, a circus big top up.
Wow.
And we're going to create a brand new production of Goldilocks and the Three Bears, which we've never done, but is a great pantomime and is set in a circus. So they're having a lot of meetings, which we will now be involved with, as to the feasibility and logistics of installing this structure at the athletics track. They've gone a long way down the journey of planning, and we're really excited to be a part of that project.
The new titles from last year, Little Little Mermaid Treasure Island were very well received, weren't they?
They really were. And it's one of those things in pantomime that it takes 2 or 3 years to line up and plan the titles. So we are doing some development work further on Little Mermaid. That we hope will roll out next year. But we were so pleased with the way it was received. We're actually looking at potentially turning it into one of our digital titles and giving it a real treatment, because the world of screen and animation would obviously provide a perfect backdrop for that story. Treasure Island went down an absolute storm. What's interesting is Treasure Island, I think, of all the titles that we've ever done, has an appeal outside of Panto season. Mm-hmm. So we're in conversation about whether we can develop that as a children's tour or perhaps a residency over, say, Easter or some of the holiday periods.
And in terms of the runs, because of the success of last year, any run extensions?
Well, we did a wonderful debrief with Stafford Gatehouse, which was our first year of producing, and we had the most fantastic production of Beauty and the Beast there. And we spent a lot of time, Sarah, looking at the figures with Gary, the theatre manager, and Derek, our associate producer on that project. And we all came to the conclusion that such was the success of that, we could extend the run by a week, I think. That was the conclusion we came to,
I mean, there's a lot to consider before you do that, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a huge amount to consider. People don't quite understand the logistics of adding a week to a run. It sounds like something that's very simple to do, but you have to think about the change in the child licensing, the change in your schedule shape, because suddenly you've got an ability to do more schools performances as well as public performances. And is there that demand to do that? Will it financially stack up? How does the cash flow work on a project that's going to see its settlement come in a week later, basically? And how are we going to manage all of the cash that has to sit behind a production, loading costumes out, wear and tear on those costumes for an extra week? There's all sorts of planning that we have to do to work out, is it viable? But we came to the conclusion, yes, absolutely. By the end of the run in Stafford last year, you could not get a ticket for it. It sold to 94-95% with all the capacity being in schools. So there's definitely a demand for more public performances there. So let's go for it. Let's give it a go. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, and once you've decided it is viable, then you have to decide, you know, where do you put that extra week? Is it a full week at the beginning? Obviously, difficult to put a full week at the end. Do you do 2 days extra to start and 3 days at the end? I mean, it's all those logistics, isn't it?
It is, and we've said in this podcast before that the most critical part of setting a schedule is where does the school holiday break up? And that, you know, this year, and again, I think we've said it before, for 2024, the school holiday breakup is unbelievably consistent across the whole of the UK. It's pretty much consistently Friday the 20th of December, give or take a day or two. So you don't have any leeway in that. You shape your schedule around school breakup date. So we had to add a week at the start because there isn't the capacity to run afterwards because the schools are going back. So you have to run earlier. So we're going to run that extra week is a week earlier this year for Stafford.
Yeah, we always talk about the Panto, Steve, but obviously the Santa shows always do well as well.
They really do. Santa shows, of course, are going to only be playable up until the point of Christmas. It's very rare that your Santa shows can go post-Christmas. But the Santa shows have been a really successful development. What we really love about it is it gives those youngsters who are perhaps too little to go to the Panto a chance to experience a trip to the theatre or to a performance space and understand live entertainment as opposed to screen-based entertainment, which is often, you know, in their very early years, what they're exposed to. So they work really well.
Okay, we talked about costumes already being looked at, and sets, obviously, we're all back now. In terms of the maintenance, that's ongoing all year round. But what about new sets for this year, Steve?
Yeah, well, of course, our news up at Kilmarnock about doing a production of Goldilocks in a big top requires a lot of creative thought. So the preparation work for new scenic builds is already well underway. We've got a brand new production of Aladdin that's just about to go into the workshops to be built. And we're in design stages for a new production of Jack and the Beanstalk. And that's not just the set, it's the costumes, it's the special effects, it's all the ancillary bits that you require when you're putting a new title on. So alongside Goldilocks, that's three new productions that we're literally going to craft ahead of this season.
Oh, scary. Okay, we've talked at length, I think, already about your being part of Trafalgar now, Trafalgar Entertainment, you know, the parent company, as it were. What changes has that meant for Imagine this year, Sarah?
Yeah, so I mentioned it earlier that we've got to do what's called an integration into the business. So when we were taken over by Trafalgar in end of July last year, we said, please don't integrate us until after Panto season, because there's too much going on as we, you know, literally we were on the throes of flat out for panto season. So we said, please don't integrate us. And so integration is due to happen, well, was due to happen over the Easter weekend. Mm. So that involves us having a brand new IT system. It involves us swapping our bank account over to a different bank account. We've got to change our Sage accounting systems from the current Sage system we use to the Trafalgar system, and then change all our internal accounting codes. We've got to look at HR and how we integrate our policies and procedures. So there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes for integration, but it doesn't really change that much. As far as people working with us are concerned, they won't see anything different. Our contracts will look the same. Everything they're dealing with, all our processes and procedures that they deal with, will look the same. It's still the same team. It's still the same way of working. We're still working in the same methods and the same ways. It's just the stuff that's happening behind the scenes, mainly that affects myself, the accounts team, and then our day-to-day IT. Otherwise, nobody will see anything different, really.
No, and obviously you've been integrated in other ways already with away days and all sorts of things.
Yeah, we just had a brilliant away day where we all, it was about 150 members of the Trafalgar community that went away to GLive in Guildford, and we did a day looking at one of our key values, which is creativity. Steve and I were given an opportunity to stand up in front of everybody and talk about our digital pantomimes, which was really nice to be able to show everybody just what it is that we do. And we had some lovely comments, met loads and loads of our new colleagues from across the whole of the Trafalgar group, because Trafalgar isn't just theatre, although it has three production arms in ourselves, Donathan Church Productions and Trafalgar Theatre Productions, all of which do different. They've got 14 or 15 theatres under Trafalgar Theatres, but they've also got Trafalgar Releasing, which is an event cinema. They've got Trafalgar Education, which includes the Stagecoach group, and also they've got Chiswick Theatre as well. And then there's a centralised functions like IT and marketing and HR. So it was really lovely to hear more about what goes on across the group, how we can work more closely with them, and just what it's going to be moving forwards. And it's a really exciting journey, one that we never dreamt we'd end up going on when all of this started. To say that we were now part of a bigger group would not be anything that we would ever have believed, but the right move for Imagine, definitely.
Do you know what? They've got a theatre in Australia, Steve. I mean, panto in there. Sydney would be great, wouldn't it?
We've already been in conversation, because I can't think of anywhere better to go than out to Australia in the summer once we've finished all our pantos. But, you know, that's the great thing about being engaged with a group such as Trafalgar. They have opportunities all around the world. And there are markets that would respond to pantomime. We know that there's not a lot of other territories where pantomime is received in the same way as it is in the UK. But we know there are markets where pantomime would easily fit within their culture. And especially as we evolve pantomime, you know, as a modern day presentation, there are markets that would really respond to it. So, I hope that we will get opportunities to take these shows overseas.
Do you know, the thing that really struck me about the conversation with Dame Rosemary Squire and Helen Enright on the podcast a few episodes ago is how much they love but also respect pantomime. They realise how important panto is, not just to the country, but to theatre in general.
Absolutely. That was such a lovely episode that Rosemary and Helen did. I really enjoyed listening to it myself. Yeah, they love panto. And what was great was they were out themselves seeing a lot of panto last Christmas too. So the fact that the senior management of the group understands how important it is wonderful. I saw Helen and Rosie at the press nights in Wickham and the press night in Glasgow and various other places around the country. Really nice to catch up with them. Really nice to have their support. But all we have to do is say, we'd like to try. And they give us a chance. And that's really... it's really lovely to know that we are respected within the group and that they really value what we do.
Okay, well, talking of venues, Steve, obviously the meetings are already started. Already you're putting the mileage in, aren't you, up and down the country?
Absolutely.
But it's really important to get those meetings started as early as possible.
It's absolutely time to get out and speak to theatres and speak to management in the theatres. Not only to reflect on the previous show, but also to look at the challenges that we're facing this year. There's two particular challenges that theatres are facing. One is infrastructure. There's still a shortage of technical staff in the country. It's getting slightly better, but there's a long way to go to bring it back to the sort of levels that are workable for all productions. There's also massive financial pressures on venues. We're aware of the outlook in this country in terms of local authorities and the support that they desperately need. So we're seeing a lot of, you know, high-level decisions which are impacting our theatres across the country. So a lot of the work that we're doing at the moment is discussing how we can best support that. whether we need to deploy resources from Imagine to support venues where they're perhaps short-staffed, what other initiatives we can come up with to help deliver this year's Panto season. There's one particularly exciting development. Fareham are receiving a new venue that Trafalgar are going to operate. And that theatre in Fareham is literally being built as we speak. Sarah and I went down a few weeks back to have a look at the building site that it is, and it's actually almost got all its walls and roof on, which is a great start. Yeah. But this is going to be a fantastic venue for the South Coast. It's an 800-seat theatre, and the Panto will be one of the big productions that will open it. So we're working very closely with the team at Fareham and in Trafalgar to come up with a really fantastic version of Cinderella that will really put the venue on the map. Yeah. Because as Sarah was saying, Panto is such an important part of the theatre's year. It always used to be historically, you'd hear that theatres would only survive based on the income they got at Christmas. And that's still the same today, even in commercial organisations. So the Panto is the linchpin of a successful theatre. If you have a successful Panto and you get 30 or 40,000 people through the door, they will respond to the programming in that venue throughout the entire year. So it's not just about coming to see the Panto, it's about bringing people into a new space.
Yeah, and with new venues and new shows coming on stream, Sarah, you're obviously going to be looking for new people, whether that's short-term, long-term or whatever. And some people might be listening to this and thinking, I wonder when the jobs become available.
Yep, so we're just working on that at the moment. So there's lots and lots of pieces to a jigsaw of casting. We do have a blog on our website. It was created just before the pandemic, but it's still very, very true that when you pull together a production, it's like an enormous jigsaw, and certain pieces have to fall in place first before you can put other pieces together. But that doesn't mean that there's not work going on behind the scenes just because you haven't seen us go out with casting or our website says that casting is closed. However, the casting will be out shortly. Mm. I mean, I hopefully would guess within the next month or so, but it's all those pieces of the jigsaw that we have to put in place first. It's almost like having to put the edge pieces in place first before you can put the centre pieces in place. And it's exactly the same for us. So we will be looking for anything and everything, as we always do, right the way through casting, crew, creatives, wardrobe, production management, lighting, sound. And it's all about building the right team, because also we spend our time trying to make sure that teams will get on. It's one thing to pull together a cast that's very strong or a crew that's very strong, but will they gel? Will they click? Are they similar kinds of personalities? Because everybody wants to go into their Panto season knowing that they're going to get on with the team that they're working with. And that's the bit that takes the time to craft.
And in terms of technical staff, I know that you've been involved, Steve, with a number of organisations trying to bring new people into the industry and supporting colleges and other, you know, training methods.
We are. Stage management is the area that requires the most resource at the moment in terms of bringing company managers, DSMs calling the show, assistant stage managers to the front, because without those strong candidates in place, it's really hard to run an efficient production, because your stage management team are the linchpin of the entire show once it's running in the venue. So we're working with various colleges and universities about providing opportunity for students, going into schools and giving them an insight as to what is the world behind the footlights and what opportunities are there in careers. We've had some really exciting conversations with the education arm at Trafalgar as to how we can support and work alongside young people to kind of point out the benefits and the great opportunities that this career has. There's no doubt about it, the performing side of theatre always has plenty of people wanting to get involved, and it's such a hard and tough industry. And we always say, if you are talented and you really, really love the industry, you will be able to make a successful career in it, but not necessarily all the time. And it's about what else can you do? Stage management, technical theatre, there are some significant opportunities at the moment to make a very successful full-time career, because there is such a shortage of sound engineers, lighting technicians, engineers, stage management, as Sarah touched on, costume, wardrobe. There are plenty of opportunities there in training to have a very successful career.
It's interesting you were saying there about the education arm of Trafalgar. It seems to me, Sarah, that, you know, Imagine and Trafalgar are a perfect match because you have the same ethos.
Absolutely. When we were first approached, I think we've talked about this in the podcast last year, but when we were very first approached by Trafalgar and we got to understand them more, got to understand their values, their visions, met the people that we were going to be involved with should we have chosen to join, it rapidly became a no-brainer to us that actually, Imagine is now bigger than any one person. Yes, Steve and I created Imagine and with our team, but it's bigger than us now. Mm. It's a bigger organisation, and it needs chance to be free and to fly. And to work alongside other organisations where it can branch out. As Steve said, there's some really exciting things for Stagecoach that we've been talking to them about that we'd love to get involved with. Just generally really interesting projects that allow us to do more than just Panto as well, because whilst we adore Panto, sometimes it's nice to do something else as well. So yeah, the marriage between Imagine and Trafalgar rapidly became a no-brainer to us.
So what's next now? Obviously, you've got the auditions coming up for the junior ensemble that you were talking about, the children's auditions. In terms of the admin, that will bring its own challenges throughout the rest of the year with licensing and so on. But what's the next sort of stage?
Well, it is just getting contracts in place, really. That's the big thing, is obviously everybody has to have an employment contract who's coming to work for us. We have to make sure they're legally up to date and compliant with everything that we need them to be. We have to make sure that we've spoken with all the right people to make sure that all our processes and procedures and policies are still compliant with any changes in employment law. That's the bits that people don't see that happen behind the scenes, is that it's really critical that we treat everybody fairly and as we should do. And that is the bit of work that takes so much of our time. Where we're going to be very lucky moving forward is that there's some real HR expertise at Trafalgar, people who understand theatre, because it is such a niche. What we do is so niche and so unique that we've been very blessed to be supported by a fantastic HR company up until this point. They obviously will now step aside and allow us to work with Trafalgar itself. Yeah, it's all the legal stuff. Lots and lots of it.
On the artistic side, script meetings, creative meetings and so on, song choice, all that stuff will be happening, if not already, certainly soon.
It will be. As I said earlier, we're looking at the drafts of synopses, starting with first drafts of scripts. And about, as Sarah said, it's that jigsaw, trying to get our creatives in place, trying to get our director in place, our musical director, choreographer, any assistance that those leads require. Things like fight directors. Do we need fight directors in certain productions? Looking at effects, where we do productions of Peter Pan, we obviously have to consult with expertise in the flying areas to make sure that we're compliant and able to do the flying in the show that we want to. So those conversations are taking place. And you never make this ground up again later on in the year. You have to make sure that you've got all those lead creators in place. Literally, we've practically got them all there. March, end of March is our deadline, and by the time you're listening to this, we are pretty much creative filled. I think the most important thing is when we're looking at new titles, our Aladdin, our Jack and the Beanstalk, and our Goldilocks are crafted from scratch, and we're looking at how we're going to tell those stories in a different way and making sure that the audiences are wowed. We always talk about wow moments in Panto. What are those moments that the audience aren't necessarily expecting and then go, gosh, didn't expect that? So it's crafting all those. And that takes time. You bat a lot of ideas around and then you go off and do research. The team comes back together and we try and pick the right ones to move forward.
Never mind a fight director for Goldilocks. You might need somebody with circus skills. I can see the dame doing a tightrope walk, for instance.
Absolutely. There's the fear and the terror and the excitement is in equal measures when you talk about tightropes. But there are. That's the great thing about doing this Panto in a big top. It opens the door to so many opportunities. And I'm really excited about this show. We've never put a Panto in a big top before. We've done Panto in a lot of unusual venues, but a big top just provides such opportunity. Yeah. Really looking forward to it.
And after all these years, Sarah, it's nice to have new challenges, isn't it?
It is. And we've known the team at the Palace for a very long time. 21 years we've been working with them. So to be blessed with being given the honour to continue working with them is something that we're very proud of, and is a huge pat on the back to the whole team and everybody who's been before and may now have moved on. But it's a huge team effort. We say this every time. Steve and I may have our names at the top, but it's everybody else that really makes the magic happen. New challenges are exciting. I can't wait. A Goldilocks. Never thought we'd get to do that one.
Listen, thank you so much, both of you, for talking to us. I know how busy you are. Sarah and Steve, thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Martin. Good to talk to you.
And just before we finish, another of your questions. This time it's one for Imagine's artistic director, Eric Potts. And what are the considerations when writing a brand new script?
When I'm writing a brand new pantomime script, there are various factors which have to be taken into consideration. First of all, you need to know the story, so I go and make sure that I know the narrative of the tale that I am scripting, make sure that I have the characters that I need, and they, of course, have to match up with the budgeted number of characters that we can have in our pantomime. I then check on the set that is to be used for the particular production. If it is one of our existing sets in the Imagine warehouse, then I make sure I have all the information about it, what scenes are available, what cloths are available, whether there are some gauzes so we can do some clever lighting to bleed through to one scene from another. Also the costumes, if there's any specific costumes that go with that set, either for the dame or for any of the other characters, so that they can be referenced and used to their full potential. If we are lucky enough to be building a brand new set for the production, then I liaise with the designer and we make sure that we work together to create the sets that are going to follow the narrative of the show that we are writing. Then, of course, we have to take in casting. If we have any profile casting in the show, we have to acknowledge their presence, perhaps with catchphrases, perhaps incorporating a routine that they are famous for, songs that they are famous for, whatever their particular skill set and speciality. The audience have come to see them, so we need to acknowledge that they're fully represented in the show as the audience would expect them to be. Beyond that, it is just a case of clear, pure, and accurate storytelling that is fun, funny, and accessible to all. I always think a pantomime should be at least 60% adventure, be it a swashbuckling adventure like Peter Pan or Treasure Island, Dick Whittington, or a romantic adventure like Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, Beauty and the Beast. They all must have a tale that makes the younger members of the audience hold onto the seat in front of them, wanting the good to triumph over the evil, wanting their favourite characters to receive the good outcome of the narrative. And onto that really strong adventure through line, you hang all the panto business, the music, the comedy, the routines, any special effects, any magic, the pyrotechnics, so that it becomes a really fast moving, fun couple of hours that is true to the story, engaging and enjoyable.
Thanks so much, Eric. And that's it for now, I'm afraid. Don't forget to send any questions you might have about Imagine Theatre or pantomime in general via the Get In Touch section of the website at imaginetheatre.co.uk. And make sure you subscribe through your favourite podcast app and join me, Martin Ballard, next time for episode 77, when we'll be taking a closer look at the pantomime title Snow White.
Thank you for listening to the latest edition of Just Imagine, the podcast series from Imagine Theatre. And you can find out more by going to www.imaginetheatre.co.uk.